What's up, guys? Welcome to the Floaty Cast, I guess. Yeah.
Or episode? Do we even remember what episode we're on?
105. Yeah.
Nah, it's got to be higher than that, right?
No, buddy. We haven't been here in 3 months.
Oh, right. Well, what's actually, up, guys? Welcome to the Floaty Cast for episode 105.
So it's been almost 5 months, actually. We bullshit, and it was July the last time we were here.
That makes sense, man. I had a whole last school semester.
You know what? Let's give it to him proper. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Floaty Cast for episode 105, ladies and gentlemen. Long time no see.
Here? Yeah, something.
We're still alive, by the
way.
Yeah,
believe it or not.
Oh, God.
Man, so before we get this started, I want to formally apologize because, you know, while we were talking right beforehand, we were talking about maybe slowing down. I think we probably mentioned that because there was a lot of changes coming in both of our lives, but we promised you would keep going, and we did not. And that's my fault completely because your boy said no school to full-time school with a full-time job, and I didn't realize what kind of commitment that was. So while Maxlow spent the first beginning part of our break asking me when I would be available, I never showed up. So that's on me. And then, you know, we just realized it was probably better just to get one semester under my belt at least. And we had a lot of shit go on. So we're back though. Maybe not as heavy as we were, but we're back. We're back.
We're back for now. Hopefully it won't be another 5 month layover before we come back again. But yeah, these last 5 months have been something. That's for sure. That's for sure on all sides. For those who don't know, Scott got me a job. I said it in the last episode and then promptly left that job. So shout out to Scott.
Yeah. So I got him a job. I worked with him for about 2 months and then I got a better job. So I said, hey, man, peace out. No, I do miss it. A lot of times, just like the people over there are great. The job was great, but you know, the dollar bills called and, the easy life of not being a mechanic anymore called even harder. So, you know, I had to move on to bigger and better things, but
I respect that, man. I really do. Chasing the paper, which I guess I did too, but hey, you know what? No fault. Okay. We got it done. But we are not here to talk about our things. I don't know where to go.
Oh my gosh. Bro, so it before we move on, like, you know, like we're supposed to introduce ourselves, right? So like
Scott,
or say, hey, how
you
doing? Right? Yeah, I'm doing great. Still working every day for the last 5 months. I've been through a lot. House caught on fire. Currently living in a rental. So if we do make a video out of this, you'll notice my new background is this ugly flower wallpaper that exists as a 1960s rental home. So shout out to that. It's become my new personality, this 1960s like husband style, right? I'm thinking about wearing like those stupid hats and like a tie every day, you know, just to fit my house.
You should definitely. Yeah. You talked about the, like, not a fedora, the worst one, like the flat, like the.
Yeah. The golfer cap or whatever it is that buttons up the front. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Or beret.
Oh bro. Beret would be sick.
Yeah. One of them. Yeah. That's good, man. I'm glad you're doing good. After your house caught on fire.
Yeah, it's getting fixed slowly. Contractors don't work as fast as they used to, apparently. So we're looking at, I'll probably, my birthday present to myself in March will probably be moving back into my house.
Fair enough. I guess my birthday present to you is not Red Wings tickets, but helping you move back into your house. So hey, you know what, that's good.
Yeah,
but you know, it hasn't all been doom and gloom out here. I did buy a car since we last did the podcast, so that was
right.
Cool.
Yeah, because your other car was doom and gloom.
Yeah, my Yeah, holy shit.
So sorry for everybody that loved to hear my I saved Maxlow off the side of the road after a regional story again.
We won't have Avengers Endgame Part 3. It's just 300 the sequel.
I bought a truck too, so
yeah,
there
that
you go.
Is true.
Not driving the Kia anymore, so.
Yeah, so we both got new vehicles, which is hot. But there's one thing on the platter today that Scott and I have a lot of catching up to do, and it's this thing. It's called the Pokemon Trading Card Game. It's still a thing. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure there's like 3 major tournaments going on as we speak. I don't know if Toronto is over, but I do want to give a shout out to 2 FloTK members for being on stream yesterday for round 9 winning in. Charlie Kerr, and you know him and you love him, Aaron Rucker. I didn't get a chance to watch that game, but
it didn't go well in Aaron's favor at all.
I was about to say Aaron probably got them claps, bro. He got
I didn't see game 1, but Charlie got game 1 and I watched the entirety of game 2, and Aaron prized like his Drizzyles, like basically all of them. And so he just had no chance to get anything going. He had like 1 shot to like pull out something to knock out like literally anything on Charlie's side of the field for the game. But with, you know, he had like an Inteleon involved, right? So he couldn't get rid of that because that was going to be an attacker or whatever. And like, long story short, he just couldn't get there with the available resources he had. So unfortunate for him. I do feel like his deck probably has a better matchup against Mew than because he was playing like the single prize, like crazy nonsense Charizard attacker box thing. I think it has like a pretty good matchup against Mew normally just because of the prize trade. But I just think we didn't get to see it that round, unfortunately. And Charlie's just a god of a player anyhow. So, you know,
yeah,
there might have been a little bit of outplaying there on his part. So,
yeah, for sure. And shout out to him for getting it done, Charlie at least. And shout out to Aaron for getting on stream. I don't think he's been on the official Pokemon stream yet. So,
well, not for a while. I mean, he has before, but not for a while.
Oh well, then it's not as cool. So, fuck Aaron.
And I think he got points still, right? Like. 5-3-1 gets points.
Yeah,
probably.
I'm sure he got like top 256 or 128 or something. He got something. So shout out to him, putting the work in where we are not. So good on him. But the
I played Pokemon twice in the last 2 months.
Yeah, me too. actually, you know what? I did right before Silver Tempest came out. We played in a best of 3 tournament at our locals.
Yep.
I split first. I didn't drop a set at all. I was playing Giratina, Dex, bananas. Then
I was also playing Giratina, and you beat me twice. Was that the tournament you beat me twice
in? Yeah, not a big deal.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. It's whatever.
Yeah, we played round 1 and the first round of Top Cut.
Yeah, it's sick. So I was that's about it. That's about all I've done as far as the Pokemon trading card game. But I do have a question to ask, honestly, because there is a new set that has dropped back in Nam called Silver Tempest. Back in the day, I'm pretty sure it's been out a month, and I have 0 cards of this set. Really a really bad look for being a Pokemon.
I literally have every card you need out of Silver Tempest, but I've built 0 decks with it.
Okay.
So, I played a lot of it, though, because I play online. I download it live, so I made the transition. I know it's horrible. PTCGO is better, but I could play it on my phone, so.
Hey, you know, I do have TCG Live, but I haven't committed to it yet. I just made an account. I haven't migrated over, but we'll get to that in a minute. So Silver Tempest brought a new archetype to the format, and apparently at LAIC, it dominated the first legal tournament for Silver Tempest. And Scott, I need an explanation as to what the hell happened.
I mean, it's a strong deck. It is a very strong deck, and it's quick. It can one-shot anything given the right scenarios. It has answers, and it's so simplistic that a bad player can play it semi-optimally. And in LAIC, I mean, you just hit a situation where good players got a good deck, and nobody was prepared for the onslaught that was about to ensue. Looking at more recent online tournaments, you can see that it's definitely being handled appropriately now. It's not going to be, I mean, it's still top, right? But it's obviously people have answers for it now, but nobody had answers for it in LAIC. Nobody probably expected it to be as, you know, heavy as it is, because on paper it doesn't look all that impressive, right? And then, yeah, that's what happened there. I mean, it looks like it has like 20 of the top 32 slots or something like that. It's absolutely insane. It might even have more than that.
I don't think I've seen that much of a dominant force for a brand new deck to come out since, like, what, Drampa Garb at Seattle Regionals 5 years ago or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a good minute, if it's ever happened to that extent before.
Maybe, like, if there was a regionals when Fusion Strike came out, or is it Fusion Strike? Is that the name of that set? Yeah, where Mew VMAX. I'm sure Mew VMAX probably would have dominated that tournament or something. Like, if there was a regionals when that happened. But, like, something to this regards, like, I don't have any Lugia cards. I'm very, you know me, I always want to play the new hotness deck, and I'm very intrigued by Lugia. But I have to, you know, go get the cards. Mainly because the MVP of the deck of, you know, my ample amount of testing that I've played is Amazing Rare Yveltal. You're telling me that there is a deck that actually plays that card effectively? I'm sold. I'm 100% in. Like, sign me up, Chief. But, like, I still don't have any cards, and it's kind of expensive.
Yeah, so the problem really is not the Lugias, though. That's what's funny about it. The Lugias are, like, as expensive as you'd expect them to be, given the state of the deck. But all of the special energies, if you don't already have them, it went up from, like, 30 cents to $5.
Oh, cool. Yeah, sick. Like, Aurora energies? Yeah.
So I don't know about Aurora energies. I specifically, when I went to pick them up before this latest rendition of it, we're talking like when people are still playing it with Regigigas, no Yveltal and stuff like that, I picked up four powerful energies because those were the ones I knew that I was missing, because I've probably traded those in as bulk like 100 times, and they were $5 a piece, and then I needed more double turbos and they were like $6 a piece or some crazy stuff like that, and I'm like, great, like I just spent, you know, $20 on energies. That, yeah. This is a sad day in my life.
Yeah. I do want to play it, though. Like, it's a very interesting, you know, a very interesting deck. I know Ethan Heggie, before it even came out, he top-8ed a Japanese tournament with it. And there was some, like, rundowns on how good it is. But, like, Lugia V-Star is a super cool V-Star Pokemon because, like, it's not, in a vacuum, it's not as powerful as something like Arceus V-Star, if we're talking about colorless Pokemon, or even Palkia V-Star, because, like, Palkia hits for a ton of damage, and Arceus searches two cards out, and Palkia just finds, you know, or accelerates three energies from the discard, which is super strong. But pairing something like Lugia V-Star with Archeops, like, that came out of Silver Tempest, because, you know, I know everything about Silver Tempest. I've seen every card. No, I haven't. But something like Archeops that just accelerates special energies out of the deck, like, two of them, and you, with Lugia V-Star's V-Star ability, lets you bring two colorless Pokemon without a rule box to the bench from your discard pile. That's super strong because that's four energies, like, every turn, yeah. Four special energies. And we all know that special energies are the most powerful energies in the game. And, like, that lets you take its 220 base attack, attach a choice belt doing 250, and then you find four powerful energy if you have them in your deck. You're doing what? You're one-shotting everything.
Yeah. Or, well, I mean, plus choice belt, right? So,
yeah. So, like, 220, 250, 80, 330. You're one-shotting everything in the game. So,
I mean, that's a lot of commitment.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's just an example. Or something like you look at Amazing Rare Evil Tall that I'm super stoked to play when I finally get a chance. It has that amazing destruction attack where you just knock out your opponent's active Pokemon for free. Yeah. Well, I mean, not for free. It's a very expensive attack. But you can accelerate a heat or three Aurora energies and a double turbo energy, and just that attacks live at
one turn. Two Archeops on the field, that's one turn. The other cool combo in here that like is in most people's decks, or it used to be at least, is the Stoutland V, which is three colorless, you know, take a knockout with 40, right? So you miss it with Lugia rather. Not Evil Tall. Yeah. You can't miss it with Evil Tall, but you miss it with Lugia, and now you're like, oh, that three prizer, that Mew just gave me four prizes, right? So even though it took me two swings, now I've upset the prize trade again. And now I'm on the offensive after you take the return knockout. I'm on the offensive and I'm literally an Evil Tall away from winning this game.
Yeah. Or like if you're up against like something like Lost Box or single prize matchups, you can use that Stoutland, accelerate two powerful colorless and then attach an energy, and you're doing 80 and you're just one-shotting, taking two prizes off Comfy. Like, that's huge.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy.
So, you know, just the inherent power of, you know, something like a like Lugia paired with Archeops, it's just insane. And, you know, it was a brand new tournament at LAIC with a brand new set. And of course, everybody wants to play the poster child. But you know how that, like I always say, when a brand new tournament happens, which I did this at Peoria, usually the good decks that win are going to be like the ones people are comfortable with. You know, there wasn't a lot of time testing for LAIC, but because Lugia is very, I don't want to say streamlined because it has a lot of options, but it's a straightforward deck in what you're wanting to do. You want to get two Archeops right in the discard, get them on the bench, accelerate your energy, go crazy.
And I mean, you can see from the composition of these decks that that's exactly, there was no frill in them. You know, there was a couple options, right? They threw, because, you know, the Stoutland maybe wasn't necessary, right? The Evil Tall maybe wasn't necessary, right, for deductive function, but they are very powerful. You know, that's just like before they were running the Regigigas, you know, to handle the Mew matchup, right? And again, that's just the tech card, right? But aside from those, everything else is like as streamlined as you can get. You know, you got your draw supporters, your Serenas, right? You got four Quick Ball, four Ultra Ball, four Evo Incense. Like, you have to find those Archeops. And so that's what the deck does. It's like, cool, we're going to play everything we can to find these Archeops. You know, everything we can to set up our bench, because we don't know. We know the inherent power of the deck, but we don't know how funny we can get with it yet. So instead of making it crazy, they made it straightforward, because that's how the deck is functioning, and that's what happened. You got good players with good decks, and you took 20. It's 22. I counted 22 of the top 32 spots.
Oh, not a big deal. Whatever. It's cool. And we also have to mention, because we're talking about LAIC real quick, Tord Reklev actually won that tournament. That is his fourth international championship win in his career, and he's also 4-for-4 in winning in each different region. How about that?
Oh, that's crazy, actually.
Yeah.
Is he the first person to do the, like...
Well, he's the only one who's won four.
Oh, well, there you go. So not only is he the only one that's ever won four,
but he hasn't won duplicates. He's won one North American, one European, one... Oceania, and then now one Latin America. So
he needs a Worlds. He needs to win Worlds this year, because
he needs to complete it.
So, like, then he would have the crown, the 5-point crown. He could wear a t-shirt. You know, he could just have LAIC, NAIC, so, you know, Worlds at the top.
So we have to ask the question, bro. Is he the GOAT?
I would say he's the best player of this current generation, right?
Is he like the LeBron James versus Michael Jordan? You know, like him and Jason Klesinski is like LeBron James and Michael Jordan.
Right. And just like LeBron James and Michael Jordan, I don't think you can compare them, you know, because it was a different game. Same thing with that, right? You know, but he's definitely, as the current game stands, I think that Tord Reklev is the best overall player, right? He's a deck builder. He's a player. You know, he's
overall. There's probably better players out there, but not that, you know, maybe don't deck build as well. And there's definitely better deck builders out there. He has a lot of help from a lot of them, right? But they probably aren't the best players. I think, you know, overall, everything combined toward Redcliffe's top right now.
Okay. Well, so the problem is I'm the best player in the game.
You're the luckiest player. I will say
I'm just
that.
Playing, I'm playing toward. Don't hit like, me with that CND, big dog.
Just throw that out there. Like, I am going to stand up here and tell you that I think that I am a better player than Steven Maxlow. I cannot beat Steven Maxlow 90% of the time because my man is the luckiest player that I've ever seen. He makes risks that I don't agree with, and they always pay off. It doesn't make any sense. He's a good player. He knows what he's doing, and obviously it works for him. But
I don't know shit, okay? I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, not anymore. We're going to go ahead. And, all of this is prior to 5 months ago. But, 5 months ago, I cannot beat Steven Maxwell. I still think I'm a better player. I have beat Tord Redcliffe, though, in coaching sessions. But I have beat him. He was helping me beat him, but I have beat him.
You know you're good when you can only beat yourself.
That's how it is. Like, so the way Tord coaches, though, and this is just a little advertisement for him because I do think he's a great coach. The way he coaches is he makes you make the decisions, and then the best way I can describe it is he disappointed dads you, right? Like, you're like, I think this, and he's like, well, okay, but, and I'm like, damn, he's disappointed in me again. So the next time that comes up, it doesn't happen again. Like, I don't make that mistake again. And it's not because he told me it was wrong. He just told me it wasn't right.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
But I mean, when you get up to that level, like all those top players, they just think about the game so differently than your average Joe, like me and you. You know, it's absolutely mind-boggling. But
yeah, I mean, I just thought that was insane. You know, I knew, like, going into LAIC, I knew Lugia was, like, probably the best deck, even though I didn't know anything. I just assumed it was. By the way, the regular art for the regular V is sick.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely sick. Oh, and Scott pulled a full art one. Mm-hmm. At locals, but that's besides the point. Like, knowing, like, I'm sure everybody and their mom who was going to that tournament knew it was going to be the best deck for the tournament, obviously, and it showed out in numbers, and the best player on the planet, who was also playing Lugia, won the tournament. So it makes, all of it makes sense. That being said, for my occasional scrollings on Twitter, I saw Doom and Gloom thinking the format was ruined because Lugia was taken over, but as you can see in these other tournaments that are going on right now, like Brisbane Regionals in Australia, Inteleon, Alolan Vulpix, V-Star, and Articuno won that tournament by Tim Franklin.
Wow.
Yeah, which was super sick. I don't know his list at all, because this is like literally fresh off the presses, all right?
I
haven't had
it. I don't even know what that does. Hold on.
But Alolan Vulpix is also another super or poster child of Silver Tempest. So super cool to see that one win a regional. That's pretty awesome.
A lot of people are playing Mew as well. Mew's making a comeback. So Mew's very, very strong. A lot of the top players, at least at Toronto, are playing it. Mm-hmm. So
there was three in top cut at Stuttgart Regional in Germany. Only one Lugia at the Brisbane Regionals that just happened. There was two Lugias in the top cut. And there was also in top four a Durant. There was a Durant in top four at Brisbane Regionals. Go figure.
Wow.
I'm not making this shit up.
I'd need to see his list. That is astonishing. So oh. Vulpix, V-Star.
Yeah.
Pretty good card.
Doesn't his V-Star attack do, like, 70 for each V?
V,
Yeah.
And it's a free attack, right?
Free. No energy. And then its other attack does 160. And then during your opponent's next turn, prevent all damage done to this Pokemon by attacks from Pokemon that have an ability. Which, do V-Star abilities count? How does that work? I should know this. I'm a judge. But what if they've used it, it still counts, right?
They still have an ability on the card, on the text. We're going to get shelled by people for that one, so it's fine.
That's fine. It's been a while, all right? I've been learning how to network computers. I've been
not even the talking kind.
Yeah, not even the talking kind. Like, I've been programming. I'm not a computer guy. I say that all the time. I chose a major that has to do with computers. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So,
yeah, I don't know what you're doing either. Look, man, I'm getting ready for an inspection this week, so just cut me some slack. Thanks.
Bro, anyway. Just tell them when they ask you something, just be like, no formal training. It's fine.
I've already had to do that. speaking of Stuttgart regionals, I mentioned earlier, or Stuttgart, however you say it. Stuttgart. Okay, it's in Germany. Vikavolt V and Origin Form Palkia V Star won that tournament. Mateus Mateus.
Oh, he's a good player. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. He's awesome.
He won the tournament. First career major event, top eight. So that's pretty sick. And yeah. So that's pretty sick. That deck did really well as well. Like I said, I mean, the format always corrects itself. You know, you have a power deck that comes out of nowhere and blows up a tournament, and then, you know, it resets itself with cool decks afterwards that are built to counter that
deck. And then it'll settle down. You know, next tournament, it'll be a good mix, right? But This is what we always have. We always have the best deck. Then it seems like it dies, and then it didn't. It just has to try harder.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's how that's going to go. Yeah, other than that, I mean, we still got Toronto results to worry about. Isaiah Bradner with Lugia has made it into top four or top eight. And then Charlie Lockyer is in top eight as well with Articuno and Inteleon. Apparently this Articuno from Silver Tempest is like blowing it up.
Really? I feel
okay,
terrible.
All right.
I don't know, two water energies.
It does 70 damage and then paralyzes the active Pokemon. And then,
I mean, not many people are playing like crazy switch options, so that makes sense, right? Like, Lugia doesn't play a switch option, so...
Wait, really?
Yeah, it plays none.
I feel like that's kind of bad.
Well, it is if you're playing against Articuno, but that's why Articuno's doing good, right? Like, yeah,
fair enough. And then there's like... Okay, so Emergency Jelly is also in that deck, and I don't even know what it does. At the end of each turn, if the Pokemon this card is attached to has 30 HP or less and has any damage counters on it, heal 120 damage from it. If you healed any damage in this way, discard this card.
Oh, I assume that's just so it stops the Greninja play, right?
I guess in like the Inteleon deck, because you're paralyzing and then smacking with... Articuno and they can't switch out or attack, you would just attach an emergency jelly, do 50 or do the 70 and paralyze, and then like once you do 50 to yourself twice, you just heal it with emergency jelly and then do it again. And then
That makes sense.
I think that's how that works. I don't fucking know, dog.
I mean, it's fine. Like, yeah, because you're paralyzing, they can't switch out, like They're just dead in the water, right? So,
yeah,
you could take forever if you have that. Then the 50 HP isn't gonna knock you out, right? So you just slowly but surely knock them out. That who am I kidding? I played Weezing for fun, and that's the longest deck possible to play. So,
Yeah, I'll look up the list. I'm going to give it a shot, actually. That sounds dope, especially if nobody's playing Switch options.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely does sound cool. I just want to play Lugia, bro. I just want to go get all the cards for it. I get to play Amazing Rare Yveltal. That card's so cool.
Like, it really is.
I'll put like one Switch in there, I guess, to break the loop. I don't know. Like, if nobody's playing Switches in their Lugia decks, it's probably something I would add in the future, right?
I mean, there is the, what is it, the one that scoops up the colorless Pokemon? There used to be at least.
Sharon's Care?
Yeah, Sharon's Care. So, I mean, that's kind of like a switching option,
yeah, but
that's about it.
If you play like Sharon's Care and they just stick an Archeops in the active, you have no way of getting it back out.
No.
That's what.
And that's how you win that game, right? You just knock out both Archeops.
Yeah.
Like,
and then they have to manually attach every turn. That feels bad. I don't know.
And once they do, they only get one attack before they get paralyzed. Like,
yeah. Maybe Articuno's broken, bro. Maybe it's just broken. Maybe it's the best deck in format, and we've been missing
until
out.
People just play three Switch, and yeah, then you're doomed.
That is true. That is true. I guess we could have recorded this pod after Toronto was over, but it's fine. We had to get it out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we had to get back on it, right? Yeah. Like, this is how it worked. I like just messaged Maxwell and was like, "Yo, let's throw a pod up," and he's like, excuse me. Yeah, like, sure.
Let's get in there, dog. But Rahul Reddy is playing Lugia V-Star Archeops with an Espeon VMAX. That's pretty cool. What else is there? There's Lost Zone Toolbox is still a thing. Not a Giratina, just apparently nobody wants to play Giratina, bro. Giratina's broken. I don't get it. Giratina is nasty.
Yeah, but it just gets thwopped by Lugia.
Nobody cares about that, dog. Lugia is trash. Lugia is a tier 3 deck.
You just said you want to play it.
I do. It's the best deck in the format. But when it comes to Giratina, it's trash, bro.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, speaking of Giratina, cool thing that happened that shouldn't have happened. We have not recorded a pod since I went to Peoria Regionals. By the way, I went 2-3 and drove home that night. It was not my finest hour. But at Peoria Regionals, they did not hand out the promo cards. I did not get one. Nobody got one. They weren't available. So 3 days ago, I got my promo card from Peoria in December.
Well, shout out to them at
good
least making
for
it right.
Remembering, I appreciate it.
I think there was like a shipping issue on Pokemon's end for that, right? Like,
I
Pokemon
think so,
didn't
yeah.
send them the card. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing the organizer could have done about that other than making it right, like they did. So, or Pokemon made it right.
Yeah,
right.
Pokemon. Yeah, it came from Pokemon, which was that was pretty cool that I actually got it. It was a Colrus's experiment.
That's actually
promo.
Really cool.
So that is cool. They did give me the wrong playmat for that tournament too, because I got Enamorous and I wanted Giratina. So beggars can't be choosers, though. I guess I gotta hit the old black market to go find one. And by black market, I mean Facebook Marketplace. I mean Verbank City Pokemart.
Yeah, so. I mean.
But at that
I'll just
tournament
give you mine.
From like,
do you want mine?
Yeah, sure. From like 6 years ago, I did not do so well. I started pretty strong, but I just, the draws were horrible. Like, the last round before I was like, fuck this, I'm going home. I started Drapion and drew 4 scoop up nets in a row. And I was like, God damn it. I think it was just piss poor shuffling or something. I don't know what the hell it was, but it was bad. And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, no. But that was like, that was a long time ago.
Are you going to any coming up regionals?
Because
if you weren't, you're going to Knoxville and you're going to Orlando. So.
Well, I have to go to those.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to Arlington. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not because life. I want to go see Connor McDavid in Nashville on the 19th. So I'm going to do that instead. That's a little bit cheaper.
I feel that.
But yeah, life. Life is a thing. Life. So we're not going to Arlington. But I will go to those two regionals, maybe get my feet wet again into the Pokemon. Is Scarlet and Violet base set coming out then?
I have no idea. Oh my God. We probably should have did some sort of research before starting to record this pod again.
Because... No, it's fine. They're getting raw, unedited, uncut. You know how we do. They know how.
Yeah, you know, it wouldn't be us if we were like, yo, let's research before we start, right? But no, I have no idea if it's going to be legal then. All I know is I messaged Aaron and I was like, Aaron, teach me how to play Pokemon again because I haven't played in 5 months. And he's like, all right, I got you. So
it's like riding a bike, dog.
I mean, I know how to play the game, but I don't know how to play the game anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah,
like the people at Locals are probably better than me now, and that's used to be free. So, to be fair though, our Locals have come up hard.
Yeah.
You know, like give it what, a year ago, 2 years ago when they started having Locals, it was like me, you, Bean, Alex. We were the only like players, and then everybody started showing up, and now like that's all they do, and that's
not all
we do.
And now they all travel and they like explore the world while we're over here like, yo, my house fucking burned down, oh, my wife left me, oh my God.
I think our entire Locals is just like proof that if you play the game enough, you'll get better, and if you don't play the game enough, you won't do good at all.
So the moral of the story, ladies and gentlemen, is keep at it. Keep at it. You will improve. So, yeah, other than that, as far as like tournaments and stuff, that's all I got for like the recent stuff that's happened. But there is a cool thing that's coming out that we haven't got to talk about for product purposes, is there's a special set coming out right when, like, I guess at the end of the Sword and Shield run, right before Scarlet and Violet base set comes out, called Crown Zenith? Something like that. I don't know if have you seen that?
No idea.
It's like a bunch of special arts for, like, old cards. Like, there's reprints of, like, Radiant Charizard's getting a reprint.
That's the one with a crazy reprint of Arceus, Dialga, and Palkia, right?
Yes. Yeah, I was going
to... And Giratina. Like, it's the whole matching art, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you saw that? If you flip the Giratina upside down and put it under them, it makes a whole, like, picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so sick, man. Like, the secret rares of Arceus, Origin Form, Dialga, and Palkia are just absolutely bananas. I mean, they're gold secret rares, but the alternate art of them is just... You have to see them. Like, us just talking about them is not going to do it justice. But more importantly, there's like some sick like V-Star alternate arts. There's only two I want to talk about. And the first one is Hisuian Zoroark V-Star. It's absolutely stunning. Just gorgeous. It's the coolest card I've ever seen in my life. I kind of want a blow up version of it. High quality 4K resolution, as big as my TV, hung up on my wall, because that card is gorgeous. And then Darkrai V-Star, of course, I have to give it a mention. It's okay. It's okay. It's not as not as sick as I wanted it to be. But, I mean, there's the secret rares in the set and alternate arts are all cool, but, like, the attacks and stuff like that, or, like, their abilities, they're just reprints of what we had before. Most of them, it seems like they will not rotate when rotation happens in like February or so, whenever rotation happens. But, Scott, I have to let you know, they printed another Zamazenta and Zacian.
Of course they fucking did.
Not the same ones though.
I'm so done with those dogs.
I had to let you know, dog, that they brought him back.
I'm looking for him right now. The Lucario V-Star is absolutely insane. I'm not going to lie to you. As much as I hate this Zacian, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, the art is kind of sick. But it's not. It's the Celebration Zacian, not the...
Yeah. Not I mean, all this art sword is... One. All this art is absolutely fire. I'm going to be honest. I don't see one that I hate other than the Simisi V-Star, but I didn't even know Oh, that comes out. Oh, okay. I was like, I didn't even know Simisier had a V-Star, and then I looked, and it's coming out for this set, which is explains why it's hideous.
Explains why I hate this shit.
Yeah, all the rest of them are absolutely fire. If I pull that at all, I'm going to rip it in place. Just letting you guys know.
Okay. The official, like the set dropped, right? Like all the cards were revealed. I guess they were revealed back in June, but here we are. No, I'm just playing. It was later than that. But like they have a absolutely sick one. It's Radiant Eternatus. I'm just gonna read the ability. It does for a fire colorless and dark type energy. It just does a flat 200, whatever. But the ability is, if you get this, when you put it onto your bench, or is it, hold on, now I gotta fucking read it, because I gotta get the thing right. Is it put it onto your bench, and then you can search, or is it, where the fuck is it? Okay, here we go. Once during your turn, when you play this card from your hand onto your bench, so I was correct, you may search your deck for up to two Pokemon VMAX and put them onto your bench, then shuffle your deck, and your turn ends. So, like, going first, you search this dude out with Quick Ball. You bench him. You put, I don't know, give me something, dog.
I don't know where your train of thought's going with this, so that's all you.
Just pick two sick VMAXs. Oh, two Regieleki VMAXs. And then put them on there, and then now your electric Pokemon are doing plus 30 for each. So you're doing plus 60, so you're one-shotting Lugias probably. I don't know. That was just something I thought of. Or like Rayquaza VMAX is one I thought of or Shadow Rider Calyrex VMAX. Anything that can like draw cards or accelerate energy or something like that that can help with your setup. This is something you could think about playing. They have Hatterene VMAX finally is out. It took literally the entire life cycle to get every single Gigantamax form out. Hatterene VMAX was the last one. Once during your turn, you may move up to two damage counters from one of your Pokemon to your opponent's active Pokemon. We've seen this ability a million times, and it never pans out, so it's trash.
It's not that bad. I feel like somebody will make it work. It won't be tier one, but it'll be, you know, it'll be played. Look for it at your locals. Don't be surprised if you see it at locals.
We got to talk about Simisear V-Star as well, since Scott did mention it earlier. For a fire and two colorless, as Fireball Fever, 40 damage, discard up to 5 cards from the top of your deck. It does 40 more damage for each card you discarded this way. So just straight up 200, but you're milling the top of your deck. So you're losing to Durant faster. Cool. Like it.
I mean, I guess cool that it's optional. So you're not losing Durant faster because you're just not doing it and hitting Durant for 80.
But you're still not one-shotting Durant, bro.
I don't. That's garbage. It's just as garbage as its secret art is.
And then his V-Star power, Ember Star, 30 times damage. This attack does 30 damage times the number of energy cards in your discard pile. So you got to have like fucking 16 just to energy just to do anything, so we're good. The card's trash.
Well, sometimes I just wonder why they print shit.
Yeah, I know.
Like nobody asked for a Simisear. Nobody asked for a Simisear V, let alone a V Star, right? And like, so they just like, they're like, what is the least popular Pokemon that we can make a V Star?
Actually, this was voted least popular. And I agree with it. I hate that Pokemon, bro.
right? You know, so they're like, okay, now let's just make a V-Star. That way people, like little kids will get excited about pulling this. And maybe we can make some little kid grow up and his favorite Pokemon is going to be Simisear because he pulled a Simisear V-Star. That's why this card exists.
They should just make like, they should make January like Simisear month, bro. Add them to Unite. Do a massive raid event in Scarlet and Violet for Simisear.
Like the only Simisear that I care about is when I don't put my steak on the hot griddle for long enough.
Oh my god. Anyway, there was another new Radiant Pokemon that was revealed. It's Radiant Charjabug.
Better be fire. Charjabug is the goat, bro.
Ability is Shock Block. Whenever a player attaches an energy card from their hand to their Pokemon V, put two damage counters on that Pokemon. And it has linear attack. This attack does 30 damage to one of your opponent's Pokemon. Sorry, bud. My apologies. You okay? You want to talk about it?
No. The Ultra Ball art's fucking stupid in this set, too. The rest of them... I'm just gonna leave that Charger Bug alone. Like that's it. Like I don't want to talk about that.
So we're just gonna call it as it is. This is strictly a collector set. All right. We're not here to like boost the competitive. I mean the cool arts, I guess, for the playable Pokemon is cool, yeah. But like for the most part, if you want to play a deck, you're not trying to pull from this set.
Right. I mean, it did do a lot of cool things. Like, first of all, the new Mew, regular base Mew V art is cool, but it made a lot of playable cards. It gave them a reprint, so it's going to make the price go down. Some of the regular arts in the regular set are cool, too. But everybody's going to buy this for the secrets.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm good as far as like purchasing anything from here. So yeah, I do want the Hisuian Zoroark for like collection purposes.
Right, but this is going to be a set where I buy singles of cards that I want. I'm not going to buy packs of this. Now I will say that if you own any regular arts of any of these cards that are printed in the set, and they're worth at least a little bit of money now, and you don't play with them, go ahead and sell them and then rebuy them after the set drops because reprints are going to make the price go down. So
for sure. That's a pro tip for you all. Yeah.
I'm glad we're getting a Ditto without sticky stuff on it, though. That's nice.
Yeah, that is cool. Unless they troll us again and we get a Ditto with sticky stuff on it.
Oh, my God. And still put it under the Bib rules.
I will say I'm excited about the reprint of Radiant Charizard, not because I want to pull it, but because it doesn't have the Pokemon Go stamp on it. I hate that.
That's true.
I hate that. And so they're reprinting it, which is pretty awesome. And the art's pretty cool. That's about it. That's all I got for that. But other than that, I mean... That's all the Pokemon news I got for you guys as far as the TCG goes. But there was a big thing that happened since we last spoke to you all back in the Cold War era. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet dropped the game. Scott, have you finished it?
So I finished the main storyline. I'm in the process of going and auditing the gym leaders now. So
you're auditing the gym leaders? I feel that.
Yeah.
So
sorry if that's a spoiler alert. It's been out for long enough that you should already know.
Man, it's been out for like almost 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Damn, already.
How'd you feel about it? Like you played through it, right? How did you like honest opinion, like unbiased as a non Pokemon player, how'd you feel about the game?
Well, I've always said when it comes to the Pokemon anything that I always overlook any issues performance-wise with the game. Because the series always has a track record of not doing the hottest when it comes to their game's performance. But when you open this game and you start and you notice how much of a slog it is just to get through some frames, like actively notice it. It's like, oh no, no. But once again, I'm still overlooking that because the game is actually really, really good. Like, the story to this game was probably the best in the series, I think. It was still cheesy because it is a Pokemon game, but it's some of the best in the series, like, as far as the story goes, in my opinion. Some of the new Pokemon are absolutely incredible and also absolutely underwhelming at the same time. Like, I thought the new Pokemon for Sword and Shield were phenomenal. Like, I mean, come on. They brought us Dragapult and Grimmsnarl. Like, it was some of the best designed Pokemon ever. Then there's some in this one that are really, really, really good. Like,
like Tinkaton.
Like Tinkaton, yeah. That was the one I was going for. Or the dolphin, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the dolphin's super cool. Like, the final evolutions for 2 of 3 of the starter Pokemon are awesome. Like,
who's the one that's not?
I'm not a fan of Fuecoco's, bro. Yeah, my Maxlow is represented in the game as the second evolution to a Pokemon. Like, close enough. So it's like there was a lot of cool things, like, but I'm still not on the train of let's boycott Pokemon until they fix their performance issues, because like, even through the slog of like their cutscenes, once you get past that to where you're just roaming the end game, it's all right. Like, you, everybody here who's gonna listen to this podcast or played the game saw the meme videos of the glitches that happen in the game. I think the worst I got was, like, I did a Noivern raid, and it was, like, jumbling back and forth for, like, 2 seconds. But all the, like, frame rate dips, that's where I had issues with. And to me, that shit doesn't matter, bro. I still play Final Fantasy VII, the original, from a PS1. Like, and I... that game has some issues, so...
Yeah. Yes.
So... that's not that big of a deal. Other than that, like, open world Pokemon is just awesome, and like, it was really good. I'm still torn between whether I want to say whether it or Sword and Shield's better. Right now, I still think Sword and Shield was the better game for the Switch. But Scarlet and Violet, as the years go on, will go down as one of the most ambitious Pokemon games ever.
Yeah. I tend to agree with most of what you said. So for me, the frame rate issues really weren't that big of a deal either. I mean, they were obvious, they were there. There's a lot of glitches in the game, sure. I think it's hilarious when I enter a battle, especially near the water, and things go crazy. Like, my Pokemon just disappears completely,
yeah.
And like, he attacks, you know, or like when you catch a Pokemon in the water and the Pokeball changes the type of Pokeball that it is. That's happened a couple times. I threw an Ultra Ball and then a Pokeball would be going back and forth. And then when you catch it, it changes back to an Ultra Ball. That's happened, which is hilarious to me. Right. But a lot of the glitches are like, maybe I'm just of the mindset nowadays that like, if you're going to try, if a game's going to come out that's as ambitious for Pokemon as this was, you're going to expect stuff like that. Like, I didn't go into this game thinking it's going to be the most refined, polished thing I've ever seen, right? Because even Legends of Arceus, which was a beautiful game, wasn't perfect, right? So, and that was much smaller. You know what I mean? So, I don't hate it. I love the Paradox Pokemon. I hate the majority of the Pokemon, like the new Pokemon. I'm just throwing it out there. And that hatred stems strictly from Nakhlil and his evolution line, or however you pronounce him. the Minecraft
Are you talking
Pokemon.
About Garganackle?
Yeah. Knuckle? Is that how he's pronounced? Knuckle?
Something like that. Yeah.
Bro, and let's get one thing straight, right? I'm a dad. I'm a huge fan of dad jokes. We all know this. When I saw this, it legitimately angered me. I turned off the game. I put it down. I was like, I needed to take a breath. And Heather was like, what happened? I was like, they named a salt Pokemon Salt. And she's like, what? And I was like, I'm so upset. And then when I saw his evolution, I was like, he's a Minecraft golem.
How oh my God. Make it
through trademark.
Oh my God. I just realized that.
Like his whole evolution line just obsessed my entire being. And the problem is apparently he's pretty good. Like he's like one of the top 10, like on the Uber list or whatever. So if I ever start playing competitively or even dabble in it, like I'm probably going to have to play with him. And I hate that for me. I hate that. And I hate Wigglet. I hate everything to do with Wigglet and Wugglet and Wugtrio or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, the majority of the other ones are good. Tinkaton's one of my new favorites.
Tinkaton's awesome. Every time I'd play that game with my son will be watching and I'm playing it and I'll be like, guess what time it is, big dog? It's Tinkaton. It's Tinkaton, baby. Let's go. I just realized that Knackle's name is NACL.
Yeah, but how did you not? You've been hanging out with me enough that you should have recognized that off the rip.
Bro, I did not recognize that off the rip. Now that bothers me. Sodium chloride. Oh, my God. No. And
my new favorite ghost type is actually Bramblegast. But just because I saw him rolling down the field, right? Like, and I was like, what the hell? Is that a tumbleweed? They put tumbleweeds in this game? That it seems like that was a lot of effort for something that's like not as finished. And then when I ran up to it, because I was just being funny and I got into a battle, I was like, oh, fuck, it's a Pokemon. Oh, shit. So he's now my new favorite because he actually surprised me, which I feel like Ghost Pokemon should do more often. So he sucks competitively, I don't know. Grass Ghost seems like a good mix maybe, except for he's weak to like everything. But he does have a cool ability, though.
What's his ability?
I forget what it's called. It's called Headwind or something. But like, if he's hit with a wind move, which makes his flying type weakness kind of mute, right? Because like, it has to be a wind move, so it has to be like gust, hurricane, something like that. Or he's got a tailwind, he gets boost in attack, I think, or something like that.
Oh, okay.
In doubles, you throw a tailwind behind him, and he's like hitting hard as hell.
That's pretty good. So of all the 9 generations, where would you rank as far as overall design of Pokemon? Where would you rank this one?
Mid-tier. It's definitely not the worst, but it's not the best, I don't think. Sword and Shield is probably top. Still, Corviknight is still one of the coolest Pokemon ever designed. And as much as I hate them reprinting the cards, both Zacian and Zamazenta are really cool legendaries. Overall, the new Pokemon and Sword and Shield, I feel like even the Runerigas and like even the variants were super awesome. I didn't feel that hyped about these necessarily. I'm throwing the new Paradox Pokemon into the mix of like regional variants. I'm not as hyped as I was about Sword and Shield. I am hyped for a lot of the Paradox Pokemon, but and the legendaries really kick it over for me as far as like behind Sword and Shield. The Maridon and Caridon, right?
Yeah.
Aren't that phenomenal in design, I don't think, compared to older legendaries, right? They're cool in design because they're a mechanic, but
I don't even... I know they're legendary Pokemon. I know that. I know they're restricted legendary Pokemon, but they don't feel like legendaries to me because get them like at the beginning of the game because they're who you ride on.
And they give them to you.
Yeah.
You never have to catch them. There's no glorious battle. So I don't think they'll ever feel like a true legendary. And the fact that they're just a Paradox Pokemon of a common Pokemon in Paldea, you know, by that standard... Right,
all of the Paradox Pokemon are quote unquote legendary. And I would argue that some of them are more legendary because, like, have you tried to catch any of the dragon types that are Paradox? It's fucking hard.
Yeah. Roaring Moon, bro. That's my favorite Paradox Pokemon of them all. I think that one's sick. I like Salamence back in the day too. Spoiler alert. Nah, fuck it, bro. We used to drop leaks on this podcast.
Yeah.
It's been out like 3 weeks. So, I think you're right. I think it's like a mid. But it's hard to judge because, like, if you ask me when Black and White came out, every Pokemon in Black and White was terrible. It was absolutely horrible. Like, they were all horribly designed, but, like, they all grew on me, every single one of them.
Yeah, I mean, and some of these might, you know, but it's very obvious that they spent their time designing the Paradox and not as much time designing Pokemon, right?
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Like,
with
even
that.
Even the... So what's the fucking frog? The electric frog?
Bellybolt?
Bellybolt? Yeah. Like, he seems lazy. Like, he just seems like a rehashed Politoed, kind of, you know, like a little bit, right? And then the bird, the electric bird, just seems like another like Tallow. Yeah, like... Yeah. I mean, sure, you're going to have similarities, right? But... and they did their best to make him look or make him feel different and stuff like that. But it they had their priority set. They had a lot more to do on this game than previous games. So I think that they just took their focus off of Pokemon design traditionally and designed the game first. And then some of them just feel rushed. You know, there's, yeah. I don't fault them for it, but it definitely, you know,
I put out a tweet a while back. What was the tweet? Let me find it. It was top five new Pokemon that I felt were going to be at like absolutely broken when the TCG format falls into place. And my top five were Goldengo, Iron Valiant, for obvious reasons, Miraidon, Meowscarada, and Chien Pao. Are going to be the top five new Pokemon that are going to be broken in the TCG. Do you agree or disagree?
I think Bisharp's evolution is going to be the best deck in format when that comes out.
You think so?
Oh, bro, that Pokemon is too fucking cool not to be. I forgot, like, he might actually raise it to the top of the list because I forgot he existed until I was just looking up, like, new Pokemon in the game. That motherfucker is cool as hell.
Bro, my man rides on his little cape, and he looks like a beetle, bro.
Bro, no, he is the samurai master. He's the samurai master of all fucking time, bro. Don't come at my man like that. My dude,
bro, he's got a metal mustache, bro.
Yeah, and I bet he fucks you up with it.
I bet he would.
Cerulege, I think, is going to be another really good card. I think that's going to be like the Ice Rider, Shadow Rider thing, where like... Yeah. They come out in like battle decks, like they're competing. They're probably not going to be the best deck, but you know, whatever.
I can see like the Armourouge and Cerulege being really good. I just think Goldengo is going to be nasty, but not like nasty as an attacker, even though it has a really good attack and make it rain. But I think it's going to be nasty as far as like an ability on it that's going to just be like a staple four of in every single deck.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree. I just like. You know, I had to throw a bug. Who's that bug? The Power Ranger bug.
Which Power Ranger bug?
The one, the grasshopper. Hold on.
Oh, Low Kicks?
Yo, Low Kicks is going to be fire too, bro. Low Kicks is going to have like a zero cost attack. You know what? He's actually going to be Granbull. That's his deck. He's going to be the new Granbull, the new Arcanine for those new players. Like that's what his deck's going to be. I don't know why. That's just what I'm predicting, but it's actually going to be good this time. Aaron Rucker's going to have a field day and top an event with it, guaranteed.
I guess. I mean, Low Kicks. I liked low kicks when I first saw it, but as it like moved on, I kind of hated that Pokemon. Palafin is another one that's going to be nasty, bro.
Oh yeah,
Palafin's going to be nasty. I don't know how they're going to work that in like if you. How does that work? Like if you, because you know how you have to switch it out and it changes its form. Like if you gust something or switch it to the bench, do you search your deck for the other form or something, or? Do you just play the fucking hero form and just forget about it? Like it's just
they probably just have two different cards.
Okay.
You know, like it's probably going to be like one is one and one is the hero form, right? Kind of like, or maybe it's an evolution, like a V-Star.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
It's, I don't know.
I don't know how that's going to work, but if they make it work, it's going to be sick, bro. It's All Might, bro. It's All Might.
It really is.
But other than that, I mean, the game's good. Like, the terastalizing is cool. It's not my favorite gimmick.
I like it competitively. I'm not a competitive player, so I really have no stake in that game. But it is nice. It adds a new element. I was actually talking to a buddy of mine that is playing it for the first time, playing Pokemon the first time. Since I think the last one he played was Black and White, and he was talking about how he's excited because he wants to play competitively now. And I was like, he was like asking me about it. I was like, I'm the wrong person to ask, especially now, because there was already enough stuff to think about, but now I got to think about Terra types. Like, you could either, you know, increase your stab bonus or just get rid of your weakness altogether.
Yeah.
And you get rid of your stab, right? But you get rid of your weakness too. So if you have a Pokemon like Salamence, for instance, right? And you're like, fuck, they're going to attack me with a fairy type. Well, I'm just going to Terra type into a steel type so that they can't attack me. Now my base attacks are still ridiculously high. So even though I don't have stab, I could probably one-shot this fairy type, you know?
Yeah.
Or do you just get rid of your secondary weaknesses? Like if you have like a electric flying type, you just tear a type into electric so you're not weak against, you know, whatever. Or you tear a type into flying so you're not weak, whatever the fucking case may be, right?
Mm.
Like it's, I like it competitively. I hate the hats.
Yeah, I think the hats are stupid. They could have just done away with that.
Well, I mean, it's good that they're big enough that you can see what they are, right? Like, so you don't have to pay attention, you know? Plus kids like them because they look like Minecraft diamonds.
I'm not over the fact that NaCl, sodium chloride,
and it's assault Pokemon, bro. The only thing I think about when I see him is I want to assault him physically.
I hate you.
You know I was going to pepper these jokes in. It's a podcast.
Oh my god. Back on the TCG part of that, yeah, I had to pick Iron Valiant in there because it's Gardevoir and Gallade in one Pokemon, and historically speaking, Gardevoir and Gallade are always good in the TCG, so if you have them fused...
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying.
They're going to bring back Fairy-type for that.
Nah, it'll still be Psychic. Even though it's... That's what's funny about that, because you know they're both psychic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but like that Iron Valiant's fairy fighting, I just thought that was funny, because it's like both of them. But it's cool. The game's good. I do recommend it. I think it will get better, like performance-wise, especially when like the DLCs and stuff come out. Because you know well, that game's...
Already releasing a patch, right?
Yeah. That's
supposed to fix a lot of it, yeah.
I mean, there's still issues even after the patch. But like when the...
Yeah, but I mean...
When the DLCs come out, like, because of course they're going to do DLCs, bro. Like, of course. A lot of things are going to be adjusted, and it will be probably regarded as one of the most ambitious Pokemon games of all time. And I'm excited about that. It's fun. I've already completed the Pokédex, not a big deal.
I have not. I'm a terrible father. I promised my son that I wouldn't start playing until we could play together. So I haven't tried really hard on this one because like the one that I play with my son is going to be my main one. But I also didn't want to get stuck and then him get frustrated. So I've literally played through it just so I could guide him along. Right. But, yeah.
That's not a terrible father. That's a smart move.
Yeah. But now I know like he's asking me, he's like, I'm so excited to find this out with you. And I'm like, yeah,
buddy. You're gonna hit him with that. Oh, what is that? I've never seen that one before.
Meanwhile, I'm going specifically to find everything I want. But yeah,
it's like, let's go over to this lighthouse right here. I wonder if there's something cool. Oh, look, a Rotom. I never guessed,
bro. Terra typing heat Rotom.
Yo, broken. how do you get the different forms of it?
I don't know. I haven't yet. Like,
I haven't either.
I just have a Rotom, but like I have them. Like I went specifically to find one with ghost and one with electric Terra typings.
Did you run your team with two Rotoms?
No.
Oh.
I haven't even used them in my team. I do have a Bramblegast though. He's my lead Pokemon everywhere because I like throwing him off, throwing him around, and watching him roll around the dirt. Also, his eyes stay put, which is amazing to me. I don't know if you've noticed that.
No, I've never used it.
Oh, his eyes stay there, and the tumbleweed rolls around him. So, like, the Pokemon is just two floating eyeballs, and his armor is just this tumbleweed. Fucking love that guy.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
I'm going to go get a Bramblegast tattoo.
I'd respect that if you did. I would respect that if you got a Bramblegast tattoo. I don't really have like favorites yet, but I'm gonna let the TCG dictate that because
that's what they always do. Yeah. All your favorites were decided by TCG.
Yeah.
Except for Galarian Moltres. You knew that was your favorite from.
Oh, from the hop, bro.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know. Impidimp.
Yeah, but I think he just became a favorite out of Halfman stance, bro, because like
bro,
talking about him because his name rhymed with pimp. Like, and then it just went from there, bro. Like,
bro, I'll never forget when they announced him, because you know how like they didn't even properly give him an announcement. He just showed up in the demo.
Yeah.
When you play
in
it.
That fucking
and
live
I was like,
stream.
Yeah, I was like, yo, who the hell is that? That's my guy. I don't give a fuck. And he's dope. I got to get one.
Yeah.
Well, I did get one. But
you got to get a shiny one.
Yeah, I do got to get a shiny one.
I mean, the sandwich mechanic, I don't like.
Oh,
I don't like
the sandwich
mechanic.
I hate the sandwich
mechanic. I don't
mechanic,
like the new breeding system.
No, I don't really either because like it's slower if you don't eat sandwiches.
Yeah.
Like it took me like 30 minutes just to get a Charizard egg. And I was like, you know, I should probably go eat a sandwich, but I really don't want to because I don't like doing it. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, I don't. I think there was better food-based mechanics. You know, I'm not a fan. I hate that like my button sticky, and that may be where all my hatred comes from, because I drop ingredients on accident all the time because like my button just doesn't register because I need new Joy-Cons. I know. I go through them like candy, though. Like
I don't understand, bro. I have one pair of Joy-Cons, and they just chill. I guess it's because I got the Pro Controller.
Yeah, and like, I mean, a lot of times Thomas is playing my Switch. Like, now he has his own Switch, so I won't go through them as much, but little kid plus Switch equals sticky buttons.
Fair enough. I understand. I get it. But, what else? As far as Pokemon goes, that's pretty much it, huh?
Yeah. I think that was a pretty good fucking podcast.
What's it called? Pokemon Unite. Dragapult is coming out soon.
Oh, we're actually going to have to play it again.
Yeah. I'm going to have to main Dragapult. They had Zoroark come out. I was pretty hyped about that.
I'll still play Eldegoss.
I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. No, that's not what I was going to say. What was I gonna, oh, yeah. Like, when I played Sword and Shield, I was really hyped about completing the Pokédex. I just thought about this because we were talking about Zoroark. This one, I had to trade for a lot because I really did not feel like doing it because of Pokemon Home lingering for next year, where I can just go, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
And that kind of sucked. That, like, that feeling kind of sucked. So I don't know if Pokemon Home, like, ruined that. But, like, I eventually completed the Pokédex anyway, but I had to, like, ask friends. And by friends, I mean one, and one guy I work with. So shout out to my boy Matt.
Fuck Matt.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. But other than that, I mean, yeah. I got, as far as Pokemon, that's all I know. That's all I know right now.
That's the wrap, guys. That's episode 105.
Shout out to Michigan for beating Ohio State again and going to the playoffs. That's pretty hype. The Red Wings went off to a blistering start, and now they're starting to come back down to earth. Scott invited me out for a Huntsville Havoc game a couple of times, and that was pretty fun.
Yeah. Local hockey is better than professional hockey because it only costs $5.
Yes, that is a fact.
Well, $9. I apologize.
So that was cool. And yeah, other than that, guys, I don't know when we're going to come back. This was just a spur of the moment thing. I do want to say thank you all to the people who shared their Spotify Wrapped, saying we're one of the top, like, podcasts that they listen to. That means a lot, especially considering we haven't dropped anything since July. That was really special. And
it also feels really, really good to keep getting messages about where's the Flow T cast. I missed the Flow T cast. It means a lot. And, like, I promise you guys have been on my mind. I just
life comes
at the priorities right now. Yeah.
Life comes at you fast, man. And yeah, when I was in Peoria, I went solo because the homies couldn't go because they were in a hurricane, and then Scott's house caught on fire. Bless him. Sorry, buddy.
It's you know, it's funny because I was talking to, like, remember I was like, I think I'm gonna go. I think I'm just gonna just pick me up. Like, let's go. I'll book it right now. And then, like, the next morning you hit me up and I was like, hey, guess what happened last night?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I had to go solo. So, shout out to Harrison Birch for letting me stay at his, hotel that for that weekend. I do want to give that proper shout out 6 months later. Yeah, I went out there and I got a lot of messages a lot of people came up to me asking where the podcast was at there. And it meant a lot. And I wanted to start it back up after that. But once again, you know, it's Flow T-Cast is important to us, but it's not our number one priority. Our priorities are our families and careers. And there's a lot going on, but we will definitely try and be back more frequently than 4 months, 6 months, 5 months, 32 months at a time. But
hey, and if we don't come back for the rest of December, consider this your Christmas gift.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. That's for sure. get a holiday special episode. Ho, 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 motherfucker.
Oh, but, God.
But this was awesome. It was good to be back. And yeah. So as far as plugs go,
we don't got them anymore. No plugs. No sponsor. Look, we got nothing. All right. So
the only thing we got is yeah, shout out Team Sai. Shout out Aaron Rucker, Charlie Kerr, all those homies who went out to Toronto. Shout out to you, Scott.
Thank you. Shout out to you as well. Shout out to New Beginnings, New Ends, and good food because it's lunchtime.
And Python programming.
And Python programming. Holy.
All right, guys. This has been episode 5. We'll catch you guys on the next one.
Peace.
Peace.